Well, good morning. Say the tape room, keep me up a little bit. I caught something from Brother Burt. He probably left it right here on the mic. No, we both haven't been having some trouble for a couple of weeks here. We don't admit, it's not with him, but I am admitting now. I'm not denying it anymore. I'm getting old, folks. And it's showing up. I used to think I could kind of camouflage it a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Camouflage it? Well, you can't very long. Truth comes on out, amen? John chapter 11 this morning. I've been in it a good while. Can't quite finish up, and I'm sure I won't today. We have the great story of the resurrection of Lazarus when Jesus called him forth from the dead. You know, death is still a subject that gets folks' attention. And you find here in this chapter when Lazarus is raised from the dead, it caused a big stir. It still would today. You know, with all the scientific stuff and all the going to the moon and everything else, they can't do a thing about death. They might can prolong it a little bit, but it still comes, don't it? Might as well admit that. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And here's the very scary part. After this, the judgment. You can't prevent death, but you can be ready for what's on the other side of it. Amen. And that's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. John 11:35 here, we find shortest verse in our English Bible, King James Bible, Jesus wept. But we find he didn't just weep one time. We find as we read the following verses, he continued to mourn. I said something about it last week. And Jesus knows the whole picture, knew the whole picture then. And he cares that man hurts and dies. The book of Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yeah, we have our good days, but we have our bad days. No doubt about that. But death is something that's going to happen. And so as we look about it a little bit here, we notice that while we realize man has no answer, now Jesus, the sisters came to him, Mary and Martha, said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He could have prevented Lazarus from dying. He purposely delayed an extra day. We've already talked about that. But more than that, he told them he was actually predicting a little bit. He asked them if they believed. He taught the rapture, really. See, all the Jews believed in the general resurrection. Mary and Martha did. Most folks today, sadly, that's all they know. But there's a resurrection before that that's going to take place at the rapture. When the church is called out, when the saved go up, that is going to be a time of resurrection. What Jesus was telling them here, there's not only going to be a resurrection of all the dead, but there's a resurrection from the dead. And that's very important to know. As more in one place, we have it here. We talked about it a little bit. If you want to go with me to Mark chapter 10, we'll look at a verse. We recognize the Pharisees and Sadducees, all of them that was arguing with Jesus. They believed in a general resurrection. They didn't know anything about the resurrection from the dead, though. And in Mark chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, just picking Mark chapter 9, look at it in about verse 10, and it says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. I missed my verse again, didn't I? Mark chapter 9, I'm looking for verse 10. I was reading the wrong one. Come on back over to verse 10. Let's get the context, verse 9. This is the scene of the transfiguration on the mount when the disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up with him. And they come back down from the mount, and he told them in verse 10, they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another. He had told them in verse 9, to not say anything about it till the Son of Man was risen. Watch the word in verse 9, Mark 9:9, from the dead. Watch every word in your King James Bible, because if it's a different word, you better watch it. There's a truth there you'll miss. Not just the resurrection of the dead here, but from the dead. So they asked a question about, see, they believed in a general resurrection. The Pharisees taught them that. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. They kept that saying unto themselves, verse 10, questioning one another what the rising from the dead should mean. See, they got that. There's a difference. They caught the difference. He's talking that difference to Mary and Martha now. Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. They said, well, he stinketh by now and all that. We know he's going to be raised at the last day, but he was telling them that he could be raised from the dead. And he told them, I'm the resurrection and the life. And so he was teaching a rapture here. A lot of folks say, well, the rapture is something that come later and it wasn't known. Yes, it's in the Bible when you read it carefully. God always knew what he was going to do from the beginning to the end, of course. And so he was teaching the sisters that. Now, I was thinking somewhere, I believe Acts, go with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you have Peter and John, I believe, going up to the temple. And they have been preaching, of course. And they're called on the carpet for their preaching. But it's also what they were preaching that had got the attention of the religious crowd. That was getting them in trouble. So we go to Acts chapter 4. Here we got Peter and John. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, was Jewish guards that was allowed there, sort of like the Vatican guards that you see today on TV with the Pope's death. And the Sadducees come upon them. Now here's two of the disciples, Peter and John, preaching. So they're getting in trouble. They're grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection. Does it say of the dead? No, it says from the dead, don't it? See, here's a truth that you continue to deal with. Now today, our hope, we all fear death because we hadn't done it before. But we know as a saved person, absent the body, present with the Lord. But as we talk around here and kind of joke about it every now and then, we'd rather skip the undertaker too and just go with the uppertaker, amen? And at the trump of God, be raptured out. Now this is the blessed hope the Bible talks about. What is that blessed hope? The blessed hope is we miss the wrath of God in the tribulation period. A period that's given to the Jews, of course, we understand that. But I'd rather go that way, wouldn't you? Every now and then I pass the cemetery over here. That's where my brother and my mother and my dad, their bodies were buried. And I wonder when I'm going to take time to go buy me a spot. Well, the truth is that'll probably happen unless the Lord comes soon. I'd rather skip that. I joke with the undertakers. I know them pretty good through 50 years in ministry here. I said, I don't want you guys putting my suit and tie on me. You might choke me putting my tie on. And they'll laugh about that. The truth is I wouldn't be there. It wouldn't matter how much choking they did. Amen. But we got the truth being taught here by the Lord. And he's raising Lazarus now from the dead. Now, he was dead. I told you one of the reasons they left him in the grave for 4 days, because the Jews, like so many others, they wanted to make really sure a body was dead. And we all know some stories about that. After somebody is declared dead, it'd be a terrible thing to wake up in a dark casket somewhere buried and still be, that'd be a horrible thing. That's Twilight Zone type episodes, you know. Let's pick it up though here in John 11 and drop on down to about verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Can you imagine what the crowd expected? They were expecting a bad smell. They were expecting, you know, I'll just say this, the human body corrupts as bad as any animal. I have had the bad experience a time or two of having to go into a house where a body had begun to corrupt. That's a terrible smell you'll never forget. It's an awful thing. You talk to the first responders that have to go in on situations like that. So I wonder what this crowd was expecting when the stone was rolled away. I'm sure they didn't expect what they were about to see. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Now, notice the next verse, how it qualifies what he said. It says, "And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now, the whole book of John is written to try to get the truth out for men to believe and be saved, of course. But he did this on purpose. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what God was going to do. But he was doing it for testimony's sake. He was doing it to make a witness to those that were still alive in this natural life. Now, we can all ask questions. What did Lazarus experience for those 4 days? I don't know. I never talked to him. I suspect some folks had those questions. He might have had something to tell them. He might not have. Jesus already said this was being done for the glory of God, that they would see the glory of God. So this was a separate case. Somebody says, "Well, whatever happened to Lazarus?" I don't know how long he lived, but he died. So he was raised from the dead back into a natural life, not eternal life. He was saved. He believed on the Lord Jesus. Later on, when he died, I'm sure he had eternal life. But right now, he's back into the natural life. We'd all like to say, "Lazarus, what did you feel?" Maybe he just blacked out and woke up. I don't know. I can only speculate on that. The Bible did not let us know. By the way, his resurrection caused a big stir among the religious crowd. When we get over to chapter 12, we'll find out they wanted to kill him because of that testimony, the miracle that Jesus had worked on him and raised him up. So he was a testimony that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and all of that was going against the status quo of religion. It is amazing today. I've often said this, the Bible messes up religion real bad. It tells the truth. It's amazing how traditions go. You watch the funeral of the Pope and all of that business, all the tradition that is there. Now, a lot of it signifies some good stuff and all that, but I'm sure glad I know the truth from the Word of God. I'm not going to be just going along with man because the crowd goes along. Ceremonies and pictures sometimes help, but there's so much of it keeps people from the very truth. A lot of folks think the only way I can get saved is to go to church and have somebody pray for me or get baptized or something else. No, the problem is you need to receive the Lord Jesus. And if you don't receive him, somebody says sin sends a man to hell. Not really. What sends a man to hell is he will not accept the cure for sin. And the cure for sin is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We understand that. But to receive the Lord who conquered death, he showed he was the master of death here in raising Lazarus. But he also, of course, the big one was his own resurrection. I have the promise of life because he lives. Because he's the one that went before me and conquered death. And death is called the last enemy in the Bible. And it is that man fears. Pick it up with me down in about verse 42 and 3 here. And he said, "I know that thou hearest me always." Then verse 43. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Somebody said he had to say Lazarus' name or all the dead would have come. I don't know about that. That's just theoretical. But he named Lazarus. I'm glad he knows my name. One day he'll call my name. He'll call yours if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, again, we may cheat that death, and he may call us before then and be transformed, as the Bible tells us, in the moment, a twinkling of an eye. That would be good. But if not, I'm still glad I've got the assurance one day in the resurrection he's going to call me forth just like he did Lazarus. Now it says, and when he had thus said, he cried with a loud voice. Verse 44, and he that was dead, he was dead, no doubt about it, came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now they dressed Jesus the same way. Don't fall for this shroud of Turin, this robe business. He wasn't buried in a robe. He was buried in grave clothes, just like Lazarus, Jesus was. He had a napkin over his face, just like it describes with Lazarus here. He bound hand and foot. Now, let me ask you, does your mind ever kind of jump on something like this? Now, the crowd's standing in front of the grave. The rock has been moved away. And Jesus calls, and Lazarus comes forth. He's bound. He's wrapped up. He's wrapped from his all the way down, like a mummy, not like your mummy, but the Egyptian mummy. He's wrapped up in all his grave clothes. How does he walk? Humanly speaking, he could walk. He might try to hop. Did he try to hop, or did he just kind of float out? Wouldn't you have loved to have been in the crowd that day? I mean, but one thing for sure, he came out. No doubt about that. And it caused a big stir. Like I said, death still gets everybody's attention. We know stories, and we hear, and we had some experiences of people that looked like they, for sure they were gone, and then God raised them back up. I'm going to tell you a little story you can read in that blue book where I wrote the little book back there, God's Hand is Real. And some of you heard the story before. I'll try to abbreviate it. I see Brother Kevin Mann here. I'm sure his mind's already said, I bet I know what the preacher's going to tell. But good to have you today, Kevin. He had a death take one of his sisters, and that's why he's here also. No, I was a young preacher. I preached 3 years, pastored 3 years before I came here to Haines City, up in Sumter County at Gant Lake Baptist Church. And we had a good ministry there as a whole and saw God do some tremendous things. We had one of the oldest church members in our church, Sister Dobson. She'd had some heart trouble. She'd been in the hospital about a week. I'd already been over to see her a time or two. That particular morning, I was mowing the grass at the house, and my wife hollered and said on the phone, they say Sister Dobson is dead, and the family's gathering in at the hospital. Well, the hospital was in Leesburg, 25 miles away. The time I could get cleaned up and get there, I'm sure over an hour passed. And when I got to the hospital in Leesburg, they told me at the front desk, said, the family's up there. They will not let the family in until you get there. It was a Catholic hospital, and they believe the priest ought to be at the bedside giving the rites, and they wouldn't let the family in. She told me at the desk, she's already dead. They've been waiting on you. I knew they'd been waiting over an hour. So when I went there and knocked on the door, little nurse came to the door, and she said, are you the father? I said, no. At that time, I was not a father. But I knew what she meant. I said, I'm the pastor. I'm the one the family's waiting on. I said, you can let them in. So I went to the bedside, and the family came in. There was at least a dozen sons and daughters and those who married into the family that moved on in the room kind of quietly. And, of course, some of them weeping there at the foot of the bed. So I was on this side of the bed, and the nurse was on that side. And they had not even closed their eyes. Their eyes were open. See, in their doctrine, in their belief there, they couldn't do anything until the last rites was given. I remember looking at the eyes, and I hate to admit it, but I had this thought. When I was a young guy and I went rabbit hunting and coon hunting or whatever we done, I remember shooting an animal and seeing the eyes when they were dead. Anyway, I don't bore you with that stuff, but you can tell when one is dead, the glazed over eyes. And I saw how she looked like that, and they had the machines, and I'd been to enough hospitals, I knew how to read the machines. And there was no evidence of life whatsoever. So I come to the side of the bed there, and I knew I had to do something religious. I didn't know how to give the last rites as the Catholic Church does, and wouldn't do it anyway. But I knew I had to do something to show the nurse of some kind of religious act. So I pulled out my New Testament out of my pocket, has the Psalms in it also, Christian Workers New Testament. And I read the 23rd Psalm. And I said, we'll have a word of prayer. And as I was bowing my head to pray, I started hearing myself pray. And I thought, you fool, what are you saying? I didn't intend to pray that way. I intended to pray for the grace of God and the comfort for the family and the things you'd normally expect, rightfully so. But that's not the words that was coming out of my mouth. I'd break myself up with this. That's been, what, 65, 8, 70 years, whatever. It's been a long time, but it's very fresh to me. And I heard my words. I'd already said to the little nurse when I first come in, I saw she didn't understand, but I said, well, no last rites. This Sister Dobson already knew the Lord Jesus Christ. She's already made her peace with God, but that didn't mean nothing to the nurse. I had to do something before she was going to let the family in and conclude it. So I read the 23rd Psalm. And I bowed my head for prayer, and I heard myself saying, Lord, We know that Sister Dobson is with you, but even now, Lord, you could raise her up. I thought, what are you saying? You know, I just couldn't hardly hear my own words coming out wrong. Lord, even now. Well, there's a verse here. We read it last week. Remember what the sister said, even now, Lord. Don't ever limit God, folks. Don't ever. And I heard myself saying that, and I couldn't, I just saying that. And there was a son-in-law at the foot of the bed. He was older than me at that time by quite a bit. He was kind of a skeptic anyway. And he, right in the middle of the prayer, said, oh, she's been dead a long time. You know, I didn't pay him. I mean, I went ahead and finished my prayer. And when I opened my eyes, I looked again at her eyes, those dead, glassy eyes, still open. And I thought I saw life in them. I thought I saw a twinkle that I didn't see before. And I ignored the nurse and the crowd, and I don't know why. I had to be God. I wouldn't have done this, especially as a young preacher. Probably wouldn't do it now. But I started talking to her. I said, Sister Dobson, if it's all right to go on to heaven, just blink your eye. And I thought I saw a little effort to blink it. I looked at the nurse. She said, oh, that's just a nervous reaction. You know, just a nerve reaction. That's all it is. But she was watching too. She was on that side of the bed. I said, Sister Dobson, if you'd like to come on back and be with us, would you blink your eyes twice? She tried it two times. That time the nurse saw it. I went on again. I asked her again, blink your eye. At that time, she blinked it. When she did, the nurse went around the table. She went through the crowd. She went down the hall. You could hear her feet going down the hall, running. And then you could hear her running back. But by that time, I'd had two or three more blinks. And when she come back in, she came back in with the doctor. If I heard his name, I think I could still remember it. Reason I remember, he owned a chicken yard a quarter mile from our church, and I could always remember that stink of them chickens. Anyway, he come in fast, and when he come in, he had a big needle with him. I mean a big one. When he come in, he hollered, everybody out, everybody out. And all the family started moving. I started moving with them. He said, no, not you, you stay. So help me. He put that needle in her chest. That old machine over there had not said a thing. It blinked. It started perking up. And when I left, She was answering my question, one blank for this, yes, two blanks for no. She was answering my questions. Now, it was on a Wednesday. So how you know it was a Wednesday? Because I had church that night, and I had to get back and get it going. And so I left. I had to run by the house and get to the church quick as I could. As I got close to the church, I saw on a Wednesday night with a little church that would normally have maybe 25 on a Wednesday night. And a big day for us was 95, 100 on a Sunday. That was a big day for us. I saw more cars in the parking lot. We had more on Wednesday night than we had on Sunday. We didn't have cell phones, so I don't know how it moved, but it moved through that little country neighborhood. And that building was full that night. When I got there, they didn't want to hear preaching. They wanted to know what happened over at the hospital with Sister Dobson. And I remember the guy that was the manager of the chicken yard, a quarter mile from us. The doctor owned the chicken yard. This guy had managed for not long, less than a year, because I'd won him to the Lord and baptized him myself. And Brother Burt, I remember his name. That was his name. And he was there. He said, "Preacher, I want to say something." He said, "The doctor came back by the chicken yard. And he said, I'd already heard that Sister Dobson had come back alive. So I asked him about it." He said, "That old doctor said he's never wanted to talk about God, act like he didn't believe in God." He said, "So I asked him, Doc, what happened at the hospital this afternoon?" He said, "Well, I really don't know." He said, "Well, I heard she was dead." He said, "Yeah, we thought she was." He said, "But she's alive now." He said, "Yeah, she was when I left." So here, this guy's a new Christian that managed in the chicken yard, hadn't been saved long. He said, "Doc, you think somebody up there had something to do with it?" He said, he looked at me and said, "I can't explain it no other way." I want to tell you, death gets our attention. Lazarus' resurrection got the crowd's attention. Some of them hated him for it, wanted to kill him later because they didn't want the proof that Jesus was God. But the truth is, death still gets our attention. And God is still, he has conquered death, the Bible tells us. He still holds life and death in his hand. And I think about that as I think about this story right here. I remember what it did to the neighborhood and to the crowd. Folks, we hear preaching, we read our Bible, we believe, and yes, we do. But isn't it amazing sometimes how much unbelief we all have without realizing it? Remember the man in the Bible said, "Yes, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Have you ever caught yourself reading the Bible and saying, "Oh, yes, well, I believe that all the time, but right now I seem to see it for the first time again"? Well, you study your Bible much, you have that kind of experience once in a while. Bible tells us one of the things that's negative on it in the last days says there'll be a form of godliness denied the power thereof. That's what goes on. We learn the ceremonies. We learn the church language. We learn how to speak brother and sister and all of that. We learn how to sing the songs. We learn how to go the routine. But people never let it get away that God is real. What this book says, every word of it is real. It's true. When I say it's real, what's predicted to happen will happen. If you've been saved any length of time and you think back about the time you begin to first learn the truths of the gospel and the power of God, you think back on your own life. I tell that story. I could tell a lot of others. Some since I've been pastoring here in Haines City. That's one of the most dramatic. You say, "Whatever happened to that woman?" She was still attending church when I was pastor there 3 years. That was about the middle of my ministry. So over a year later, she was still attending church. I'm sure she gave up her natural life, but God gave it back to her at that time. She lived that much longer, and it was a testimony to people in the neighborhood. We had a lot of folks come to church. Yeah, they knew the gospel. They'd heard the stories, and they'd read their Bible. But sometimes to see something real and tangible makes a difference on us. And it made a difference in the crowd that was there outside the tomb when Lazarus came forth. I would have loved to have been there. But more important, I know what happened to Lazarus is true for all of us. But better than Lazarus, he was only restored to this natural life to die again. We have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, after the resurrection, no more death. You read the book of Revelation, you read the scenes in heaven, no more death, man. Oh, the last enemy conquered is death, but it's conquered. Jesus conquered it. You know, we talk about it, and rightfully so, and describe the crucifixion and all that, but if it had been no resurrection, we'd have no assurance. Not only is the resurrection assurance to you and I that believe on the Lord, but it's assurance to those that don't. Acts 17 tells us that God is going to judge the world by that man that he raised from the dead. That was Jesus. So the fact that Jesus lives not only assures that believers will live also with him, but it also assures us his enemy is going to have to face him. He's going to be the judge. And this is kind of a little premature thing here where God gives us the truth and the testimony and the example of raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, notice what else the crowd did, though. It says in verse 45, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, that was the purpose the Lord did it for. They believed on him. But some of them, there's always that but, isn't there? There's always that some. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees. That was the religious crowd who's looking pretty silly now. They're the ones been arguing that Jesus was not God, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? It's sort of like politicians. Get a committee and study it. They got them a committee here, a council. What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Now, there's an interesting thought here. They admit he done the miracles. He couldn't have done them with God. If he was not God, God been with him. So they knew the truth, but they're purposely going against the truth. We still see that so much today. The truth is one thing, getting folks that have already got set in their ways and decided this is it, they're not going to change. They're going to hold to it no matter it slaps them in the face. And that's exactly what was happening here. Yeah, we saw the miracles. One raised from the dead. Oh, we saw the blind man get his eyes back. We saw the crippled man walk. And all. Now we see one raised from the dead. But it don't matter. We're still not going to accept. You ever hear the little cliche? Don't give me the facts. I already know I've got my mind made up, that sort of thing. That's so true with us if we're not careful. You and I know what the yardstick is. The yardstick of truth is the Bible. We go by it. We measure everything by the Bible. If we don't find it backed up by the Bible, you can just take it with a grain of salt. Let it go. Amen? So here's a case where it was right in front of them. They had seen it. They were part of the crowd of witnesses, and yet they would not accept the very truth, even though it was in front of them. They go ahead, though, and say in verse 49, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him. Isn't that interesting? Fear not. And the Romans shall come and take away both our peace and our nation, our place in our nation. Now, isn't it interesting that Romans did exactly that? They did it not because of the Lazarus resurrection. We had a time here in our church, and I can't open up this can of worms very much, when we made a big effort and discovered and got some of the Roman archives opened up to us. How many of you remember anything about that? Dr. Lee, I know you do. You and I talked about it. Several of you. The archives of Rome actually hold some of the truth. And some of them you'll read, you almost think you're reading the King James Bible as it tells the story of the crucifixion. And I've talked about Pilate and Caiaphas the priest, all that we read about here. talks all about that. And the amazing thing was, there's enough truth even in those Roman government records. They should have seen the truth of who Jesus was then, but they didn't want to believe it. Your attitude that you have toward the truth makes so much difference. I've heard folks criticize a preacher, maybe. He's just one example. But they would criticize him because they didn't want what he said to be true. It wasn't that what he said wasn't true. They just didn't want it to be true. I never forget a family, a couple here. Somebody invited them. They visited, but they didn't like me from what they'd heard about me. So they came, and when they left, they told the people that invited them, yeah, he said just what we thought he'd say, and they started quoting me. But I didn't say that. So the people told me, said, we couldn't remember you saying that. I said, I didn't say that. So I went and got the tape. Everything's on tape around here and more, one way or the other. So I went and got the tape, and I listened to it myself. I didn't say it, but they wanted me to say it so bad, they said I said it. Amazing how people are. You know, one day we won't have those problems. Right now, we're depraved and we're lost and we're a mess. And if we don't come to the Lord Jesus and get victory over not only death when it comes, but victory how to live right, how to honor truth, how to accept what God said, and believe it by faith, makes a whole lot better life than just listening to all the garbage and propaganda that's put out by the world today. All right, my time's up. Starting to meddle there a little bit anyway. 7:30, okay, not bad for this time of summer. Everybody's starting to run now from the hot weather. Save me a space, I want to go too. It's going to get hot around here.